Nadia is a composite. The blockages, the conversations, the doors that closed are real, and they are closing across London now. This is their story. Her journey through NHS training applications reveals how healthcare workforce planning treats the people who want to serve their communities as a burden on the books, rather than the answer to understaffed wards. From West Ham and Beckton, one of the worst-off constituencies in England, her path into nursing met barriers that had nothing to do with her qualifications and everything to do with budget caps that shouldn't exist.
I knew I wanted to be a nurse from the time I was 15. Watching my mum come home from her night shifts at the Royal London Hospital, she'd sit at our kitchen table in Stratford, still in her cleaning uniform, telling me about the wards she worked on. She spoke with such pride about being part of the NHS, even when she was exhausted. The nurses always thanked her, she said, because the place couldn't run without people like her, keeping it clean and safe. I wanted to be one of those nurses, the ones who knew that everyone mattered. I studied biomedical science at Queen Mary University, walking the same streets my mum had walked to get to work all those years. During my degree, I volunteered at the Royal London whenever I could. The wards were always short-staffed. Nurses were running between patients, working double shifts, calling in favours to cover holidays. I could see the strain, but I could also see how much the community needed more hands, more trained people who understood what it meant to care for East London. When I finished my degree in 2019, I applied to the nursing program at Barts Health NHS Trust. I scored well on all the assessments, had solid references, and felt confident about my interview. The recruitment officer smiled when she reviewed my application, said I was exactly the kind of candidate they were looking for. Then her face changed. Unfortunately, she said, we've had to cut our training places by 40% this year. Health Education England has imposed budget constraints. There is no funding for the full cohort we used to run. I tried Queen's Hospital in Romford next. Same story. The nursing education coordinator there was apologetic, but clear. Treasury spending limits mean we can't fund new cohorts at the level we'd like to. We're only taking 20 students this year instead of 35. I tried King George Hospital in Ilford. The admissions team told me the same thing almost word for word. The money isn't there. We'd love to have you, but our hands are tied. I took a job as a healthcare assistant at the Royal London, thinking I'd reapply the following year. Every day, I watched nurses juggling impossible caseloads, calling in sick because they were burned out, leaving the profession altogether. The irony wasn't lost on me. Here were wards desperately short of nurses, and there I was, ready to train, being told there was no budget for my education. I reapplied in 2020, then again in 2021. Each time, the same response, budget cuts, treasury limits, no funding available. It started to sound like a script. They all read from the same handbook. I began to wonder if nursing training had simply become impossible in London, if the NHS had decided to run on whatever staff it had and hope for the best. In 2022, I went to my friend Sarah's graduation ceremony at the Barts Nursing School. Walking through those buildings, I felt like I was seeing a ghost town. Entire lecture halls were sitting empty, rows of seats with no students in them. There were simulation labs with all the latest equipment, mannequins and monitors and everything. You'd need to practice clinical skills, but they were dark and unused. I asked Sarah how often they used these spaces. Maybe 2 days a week, she said, three at most. I found myself talking to the facilities officer, an older man who'd been working there for 15 years. He was friendly, happy to chat about the building. I asked him about the empty rooms, whether they'd had budget cuts for maintenance or something. He laughed, but not in a happy way. Oh, no, the building's fine. We've had to turn away qualified applicants because the money isn't there. even though we've got all this space and the teaching staff are already here. We're only filling about 60% of our available training places. It's mad, really. The infrastructure's all here, ready to go. That was the moment I stopped accepting the excuses. I was standing in a building with empty classrooms, unused equipment, teaching staff who had capacity for more students. The people existed. I was one of them, and I knew others who'd been turned away. The facilities existed. I could see them with my own eyes. The need existed, so every ward in East London was crying out for more nurses. So what exactly was it that there was no money for? I started to understand that the government that prints every pound note and mints every coin was telling me it couldn't find enough of them to train nurses. That didn't make sense. The real question was never about money. It was about whether the people existed, whether the skills could be taught, whether the classrooms were available. They were, all of them. I'd seen them. The excuse wasn't a fact. It was a choice wrapped in the language of impossibility. It was the same logic as a household saying, "We can't afford it," except a household doesn't issue its own currency. The government does. The limit was never the money. The limit was the willingness to spend it into the places and the people who needed it. I did eventually get onto a nursing program in 2023 after 4 years of trying. I'm in my second year now, working placement shifts at the same hospital where my mom cleaned floors for 20 years. But every day I think about the people who gave up, who stopped applying after the second or third rejection, who believed what we were all told about there being no funding. How many potential nurses did we lose to that lie? I know now that what happened to me isn't just my story. It's happening in every constituency where the people and the needs exist side by side, while someone in Westminster says the cupboard is bare. The cupboard isn't bare. The decision to keep it locked is made by people who could choose differently, but don't.
What Nadia experienced has a name: fake experts. This technique relies on citing authorities who treat government budgets like household budgets, as though repeating the analogy makes it true. Like tobacco companies funding scientists to question the cancer link, or pharmaceutical companies sponsoring researchers to downplay drug side effects, fake experts in economics promote theories that serve political interests rather than describe economic reality. In Nadia's case, every official who said there is no funding was channeling fake expertise that treats the UK government like a household. They cited Health Education England budgets and Treasury spending limits as though the government that issues pounds could run short of them. The underlying fake expertise is the household budget myth itself, the false belief that currency issuers face the same constraints as currency users. When challenged, defenders invoke unnamed economists say we cannot spend more on health without causing inflation. Which economists? The profession is divided. Many macroeconomists argue the binding constraint is real capacity, not currency. Economists say without naming them is an appeal to unnamed authority. The resources existed, the people existed. The decision not to connect them was political, not financial. West Ham and Beckton rank 70 out of 543 English constituencies on the deprivation index, placing it in the second most deprived decile. English Indices of Deprivation 2025, MHCLG. The constituency has 719 registered charities, Charity Commission Register. Total grants received amount to £21 million, 360 giving grant NAV. All sources are published at theblockedbritain.co.uk. Blocked Britain tells the stories of people whose lives are shaped by the gap between what Britain needs and what its institutions choose to provide. Every character is fictional. Every situation is drawn from official statistics produced by Blocked Britain.